Well, good evening. How's everybody this evening? I know it's a midweek service. We're all a little drowsy, a little tired from the week, but it's good to have everybody out on a midweek service. Pastor will be up here after he gets done preaching to the Masters Clubber. So, sorry, Eric, you're missing out on that one, but Pastor is down there. But you get down there right after your special, get your ice cream sandwich, okay? So tell him he owes you one. So he's down there. He'll be back up here. He'll have a number of updates, people updates, and so forth. But one thing that we do, you know, of course, I believe many of you heard, but Newton Finley went home to be with the Lord. And his family, well, some of his family's been here for quite some time. And that was yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. And I got to go in Monday night and pray with the family and talk to them. And Kathy Finley is still in the hospital, or at least was yesterday. Just be praying for the family and all those arrangements, and we'll let everybody know as soon as we know when the funeral will be. I believe the funeral will be here. And Newton will be, his body will be laid to rest out here. And so be praying for the family, but of course we're rejoicing that we know where he's at. And certainly just to meditate on seeing Jesus is just an amazing thought, and just a wonderful thought. So be praying for their family as they go through this time. And it's good to have the Halls here, Mr. and Mrs. Hall, Beth Lee's parents, and of course, as always, they're not here for them. They are here for Nicole, turns 1 year old, so it's good to have you folks with us. Always good to have you folks with us. All right, stand with me if you will. We'll get started. Like I said, there'll be a number of people updates and so forth when Pastor gets back up here. Brad Peters, would you open us up in prayer? Amen. Take your songbooks. We'll sing.
All right. Good evening. Go ahead and turn your hymnal to hymn 598, Standing on the Promises. Hymn 598. We'll sing the first and last.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Excellent singing. You may be seated.
We now have a special. Thank you. wonderful. I love our young people playing those instruments and all of that. Wonderful, wonderful. Also love that song we just sang, Standing on the Promises of God. Where do we go to get those promises? In His Word. Amen. And that's where we need to be every day, meditating in there. So wonderful. Love singing those songs. Well, we've got a number of announcements to make. And I missed making announcements to you on Sunday. And so I got to make up for it. But anyways, don't forget tomorrow, ladies' Bible study at the normal times. And then this Saturday, we're going to help Life and Liberty Baptist Church, Pastor Ben Hayes and their church, canvass their area. And so that's this Saturday. If you're planning on going to that, I got to know tonight, okay? There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer notebook. We've got to plan for transportation, and then we have to plan for lunch. I believe the schedule is going to be, well, I know that we're leaving here at 8 a.m., okay? Not 8:01, we're leaving here at 8 a.m., and it's almost a two-hour drive on the bus, and I think we're taking the white bus, which is good, depending on numbers, and then we'll canvass from about 10, probably to 1, eat lunch, and then come back here. So we said we'd be back here by 4, and there it is a long drive. So anyways, we got to leave here at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, and so watch the weather, make sure you're dressed. If it's going to be cooler, got your jacket and all of that. This Sunday, we have Camp Workers Sunday School. Okay, so if you've been invited to be a worker, or if you just want to come listen to me talk about camp and have a devotional about camp, the Camp Workers Sunday School, it's 1 week. It's in the annex, Sunday school hour, 9:30 a.m. We'll end at enough time to come back up here for choir and all of that. But that is this Sunday, Camp Workers Sunday School. And then coming up, we've got our heart recital. That's a Thursday, April 25th. And listen, it's always a wonderful thing to come out and just see our young people and the talents God has given them. So I would encourage you to come if you can. The participants need to sign up in the foyer notebook. If you want to just come and see our young people. That's Thursday, April 25th, 6:30 p.m. right in here. And then also, then we have another camp work day coming up on Saturday, the 27th of April. All of the details are in the foyer notebook. Please do check that out if you can be a part of that camp work day. But you got to sign up. It just the sign-up sheets help me know what to plan for. And then the camp provides a nice lunch for us. And so I've got to give them numbers. And then we've got a new-to-the-church class starting up on Sunday, the 28th of April. If you are new to the church, if you're interested in church membership, we'd love for you to join that class. It goes for 4 weeks, and it just talks about who we are as a church, our doctrine, and all of that. And so that starts at 5:30 p.m., Sunday, the 28th of April, down in room number 1. And then we've got the ladies' banquet coming up. And as always, we need men and boys servers, okay? There's a sign-up sheet for that. I need to know. But remember, there's a uniform for that. There's a uniform. And so check the sign-up sheet. If you're going to help me with that, I need you to wear the uniform. Don't worry about it, but I need your help. All right, just a couple other things. Brian and Deb Shantz need some help digging a trench. It's not a deep trench. It's just a trench for some rain gutter drainage. So if you can help them out, give them a call, and they'd much appreciate that. Then for the high school graduates and the kindergarten graduates, okay, your cap and gown and the regalia is in the church office. It's labeled with the names. If you can swing by the office and get that, that would be great. And then here's another. So this coming Sunday is Camp Worker Sunday School in the annex for camp workers. On Sunday, the 28th of April, we're going to be having Sunday school in here. But we're also going to have all of the Sunday school classes except for nursery, 2s and 3s and 4s and 5s. They will be in their regular classroom. Now, we'll make note of this again on Sunday. But on Sunday the 28th, we will all be up here with the other grades except for nursery, twos and threes, and fours and fives. And we're going to go through evacuation procedures. This is not something we've done in a very long time. But you have to ask yourself a question. What would we do if we had a fire drill right now? Where would you go? Where would the Sunday school classrooms go? Would you go pick up your baby? And so we're going to talk through those. We're not going to do the drill, but we're going to talk through those things on Sunday, the 28th of April, with the Sunday school classrooms. And then at some point later on, we'll give you warning. We're actually going to go through a drill. You remember, you know, some of us older people did that in schools for a purpose. We need to do that here. And so that Sunday, the 28th of April, we're going to be going through that in Sunday school together. All right? If you have any questions on that, you can certainly see me about that. Ladies' Banquet, you can sign up for that with Miss Emily Hoxie. We'll be in the foyer after Sunday morning, Sunday evening services this coming Sunday. So please get to her about that if you are going to the ladies' banquet. And then also we ask that you stay off of the stage. I think it's being prepared for something going on in the ladies' banquet. So please be aware of that. All right, lots of announcements. Just real quick for Missions Minute, we want to be praying for, there's a pastor, Raja Sakra, I'm not pronouncing his name. So Brian Pratt came off the field. But before he came off the field, he was training a pastor, and this is the pastor, and I would just say Pastor Raja, R-A-J-A. And he's the one that fell off the train and got severely injured. And so he has recovered mostly, and he is pastoring right now in that area. Pastor Brian Pratt had trained him. So we just want to be praying for him and his full recovery, his and his pastoring there in India. And then also, the latest from Chris Scholl, this is, I don't know, a day old or less than a day old, and they write that they had talked to two doctors yesterday, so this would have been really, I think, yesterday or Monday, to discuss the biopsy. We did not get the answers we wanted. There will be a panel of doctors who will discuss Carol's condition, and they give us on Monday their final recommendations for treatment. We have some life-altering decisions to make in the coming days. We are also seeking a second opinion from a hospital in the States. Pray we can get them everything they need soon, as time is of the essence. We are asking prayer for wisdom on whether to remain in Denmark or come to the States. Pray the Lord will make it clear to us and open the necessary doors for that. And so do be praying for the Scholls for wisdom, that God would show them what they are to do. They could get the information to doctors in the States. Just a lot to it. And so be praying for the Scholl family. All right, take your songbooks. We'll sing.
Sorry, I called an audible. Go ahead and turn to your hymn book, to hymn 383. We're going to sing No Not One, hymn 383, the first and last, No Not One.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is.
friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Excellent singing.
All right, take your prayer sheets out tonight. I'm wondering if you've got, I think what we'll do here is if you've got a praise or a thanksgiving to share. You see that? In the red lettering there, a praise or a thanksgiving you'd like to share. Joe? Amen. 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 God provides. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. There you go. Amen. That's wonderful. All right. Tabitha, and then I'll get you. Tabitha?
A different character trait or attribute of God every week to go along with the prayer tablet sheet we have.
Uh-huh.
And this week, Psalm 18:18 says, "But the Lord was my stay." So I started researching out that word stay, and I found it pretty amazing. As a noun, it means that which supports as a prop, a support. But when you look at it as a verb, it's to support from sinking, to sustain with strength, to stop from falling, and to fix firmly. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what an amazing thought to think that's what Jesus is to me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Butch? Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. Amen. Reminds me, So you guys remember I preached the foot sermon here, right? Because I had children at McConnellsburg in the evening, I preached that to them. And that was one of the big points, speaking with your feet. Paul spoke with his feet. Amen. Amen. Diana? Amen. Then, since Saturday afternoon, Miss Diana has not needed oxygen. Now, she still needs to breathe, okay? But she hasn't needed oxygen. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Jeremy.
Praise the Lord, we found a house.
Amen. And it's close, right? It's close.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful. Steve. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Lord for a job that I just received today. That's working as a substitute teacher with the West York Area Middle School. And that's a long-term substitute teaching assignment. And actually, I've been in preparation for substitute teaching here in Pennsylvania for quite a while now, actually. A lot of, you know, walls you have to jump over, a lot of windows you have to jump through. So I'm very thankful to the Lord for that, and that assignment's going to last the next 5 weeks.
Amen.
And it's going to be certainly a learning experience and, you know, preparation for whatever future God has for me. And potentially, again, I'm looking at running for school board here in the Red Line Area School District, and that will provide me with more local experience for that run.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Substitute teacher job, and that's wonderful. Miss Martha.
Salvation. I praise the Lord for shining the glorious light of the gospel into my heart. We have had the privilege of working in the Youth Development Center, and when you share the gospel with someone and you just see the confusion on their faces and the kind of the sadness in their eyes, I couldn't help but just praise the Lord over and over again today that nothing that I've done do I deserve to know the truth. But God saved me, and I'm thankful.
Amen. Yep. God so loved the world, you, me, and everyone. Praise God. Amen. Other praises, other thanksgivings. Other praises, other thanksgivings. All right. Amen. Well, how about unspokens? If you've got an unspoken, raise your hand. Number of fingers would indicate how many unspokens. Just look around. Write some names down. Always remind one another, God knows what these are. They're important to God because they're important to you. Just write some names down. Pray for these names up in prayer with unspoken. All right, you can put your hands down. Let me see here. Do we have lost people we want to add to the list? Any lost people we want to add to this list? Sean?
I'm not sure if my coworker Justin O'Byrne is on there or not.
No? Well, we'll put him, Justin O'Byrne.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to him today about salvation because he was riding with me, and he said, I don't know if I'm saved. And that was a perfect door. Wow. So we went to the gospel, and he's very confused. He has I think a Pentecostal background. But
is that the Justin that came to class?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pray for Justin, okay?
He's really struggling with it and
Amen.
Being bitter at God as well. So there's two sides to that, but pray that he gets saved and maybe gets right with the Lord.
Okay, amen. Any other? I see a hand. Miss Virginia?
Yes, there's a man at the nursing home in Dallastown I was witnessing to named Ken Glass. He's Jewish, and he doesn't think he can be saved because he's Jewish.
Huh. Ken Glass.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to talk to him some more, but if you could pray for him.
Pray for Ken Glass.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Other names? Tony?
We could pray for my new neighbor, Ed, next door. Talked to him a couple different times. I invited him to church. He has a 16-year-old son who's very autistic, so he doesn't get out much. But pray for him that we'd have some more good conversations.
Ed. Okay. Ed. All right. Any other names? We'll put them on the list. All right. All right. How about let's just look at this. Wayward, if we want to add anybody to the wayward, or if we have some Family spiritual, we want to add. I'm just going down the prayer list here. All right. Okay. Well, let's just open it up then to other prayer requests that we'll write down and share with one another. I would like to highlight down here under physical friends and family, Glenn Hake. So Glenn and Linda Hake own the Collinsville Drive-In, and Glenn's in really bad shape, and he needs salvation, and certainly they need wisdom for their future, but he needs salvation. All right? Any other prayer requests? Any prayer requests at all on this side? Bobby?
Two, actually. The first one being, this Saturday kicks off a really busy season for Landmark Bible Society. This weekend we'll be at the National Civil War Museum. And then it's just a whole lot of events. I think somewhere around 8 events.
Wow.
Coming up that we're going to be going to. So be in prayer for us that the gospel seed would be spread and that souls would be saved. But also, the guy I grew up with, his name's Junior Owen. I just got word today that he has cirrhosis of the liver, and he's been in the hospital, and they're sending him home with hospice.
Oh, my.
And it's pretty tough. We grew up together. We joined the Army together. We've done Army things together. But it's good to know he's saved. But still, pray for him. Pray for his family that God would get some glory.
Amen. Pray for this Junior Owen who's saved, but cirrhosis of the liver, and really home on hospice. And then the Landmark Bible Society. That's where the gospel goes out. Bobby preaches from time to time there. And certainly tracts go out and all of that. So, Garland? Garland has a special unspoken. Garland does. So write that down. It's a special unspoken. Skip? Yeah, Larry Fainis is here, and I'm sure that Pastor will mention this. He is really sick. His got sick on this trip, and both eardrums ruptured, and so they are infected. Now, Pastor may have some more updates on that when he gets back up here, but do be praying for Larry Fainis and his health, for sure, definitely. Other prayer requests? Other prayer requests on this side? Okay, how about this side? And Pastor will mention also that pray for him, Traveling Mercies. So Miss Jenny had a relative pass away. So she is, I believe, up in Michigan, maybe Ohio. He'll give you the update to that funeral. And then Pastor had a relative pass away, one of Dr. Starr's relatives. And so some of these people, Pastor hasn't seen in many, many years. And so Friday morning, he's going to drive to Ohio, meet Jenny, go to that funeral, or, you know, go to the viewing. Saturday morning, go to the funeral and drive back. So he'll be in the pulpit. He'll be here, but so there'll be some travels there. But these funerals are important family times, and so be praying for Pastor and Jenny on their travels. Okay. Any other prayer requests before we take these to the Lord in prayer? All right, break down into your prayer partners, your prayer groups, whatever, and take these to the Lord. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we do thank you. We can bring our requests to you. We thank you that, Lord, you're God who, Lord, you tell us about you and your word, that you have ears that hear, Lord, you see with your eyes, you see our lives, and Lord, you love us, and Lord, you're involved, and Lord, I thank you that you didn't just create us and just let us be, but Lord, love us and want fellowship with us, and Lord, desire that. Father, I thank you for this time that we bring these requests to you. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about those requests. And Lord, answer according to your will. Now I pray that you, our preacher, as he opens up the Word of God with us. In your name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 tonight. I was down with the Master Clubbers, and I greet all of you from having been able to greet all of them. And we got a precious, precious group of children down there. And God's really, really blessed us. And God's really, really blessed us with a good crew of workers down there. We took inventory tonight about how long each of the workers had served in Master's Club. And most of them are 10 years plus down there. And boy, that's stability for kids to be able to see the same adults doing the same faithful work. And that's also relational in children's ministry when you have people that are working with the children year in and year out. That's vital. And they're faithful and they're good examples. And thank God for their work down there. I was sharing with them, oftentimes in our ministries we get tunnel vision, which means we only see the here and now, right? We only see the week in and week out. But I told them, we have people that have come up through the ranks of Master's Club and teens and have gone out to another state and are in another church serving God. We have some in our church that came up through the ranks and are now married and serving God and having children. We have some that are in full-time ministry in other places. So your investment in young people is never, never, ever a waste. It is always a good investment. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to go down there. I try to do that once a year. Sorry about that, but it's important for me to stay connected to all the different ages of the church. I try to do that in different ways, and so want to give you that. In this series that we're beginning tonight, we're beginning a series on Baptist distinctives. Guess what they're teaching on down in Master's Club? Baptist distinctives. So you're going to get what's happening down there, a little maybe different level. But in it, I want to give you a portion of Baptist history as we start off each week. And I think I've done this before, but I think it's good for you to learn some names. And I also think it's good for you to be reminded that the God that we serve today is the same God that has been faithful in other people's lives in years past. Tonight I'm dealing with missionary Florence Allman. She was a heroic missionary during World War II. She had gone from America in 1936 and had served for a term in French Equatorial Africa. After returning to her homeland for a year of furlough, Florence said her farewells to family and friends and boarded the Zamzam on March 21st, 1941, a ship. And it was supposed to return her to her labors. It was a rickety old Egyptian ship bound for Alexandria. And Miss Allman hoped to disembark at Cape Town here in the United States to catch a steamer to Matadi and from there to take a riverboat to Bangui, which is where she was at in Africa. The ship carried 201 passengers, including 144 missionaries. Of the 201 passengers, 144 of them were missionaries. That was astounding to read. They made their way to Baltimore, picked up additional crew, and then continued on to Brazil. Leaving Brazil for Cape Town on April 9th, they traveled without lights and maintained radio silence, for the German U-boats were very active. All seemed to go well until April 17th, that's today. Just 2 days from the arrival in Cape Town, a terrible vibration rocked the ship, and the screaming crash of shells awakened passengers and crew. The old ship was under attack. Miss Allman and her two roommates hurriedly dressed and put on their money belts, which contained their passports and documents, and donned the life preservers. The shells were flying everywhere. As they scurried to the deck, they found that their lifeboat had been hit, but they finally discovered another. As the lifeboat pulled away from the Zam, they found that it too had been riddled with gunfire and was filling with water. Florence Allman did not know how to swim, but heroically, to lighten the load, she jumped overboard. As she did so, she cried out to the Lord, "I'll be seeing your face today, Lord Jesus." She further testified, "I wasn't alone. God was there. Underneath were the everlasting arms. I felt His presence very, very real." After a time in the water, she was able to draw near the lifeboat again and placed hand on its side to keep her head above the water.
In a short time, they heard a motor and discovered that German captain of the raider had sent a launch to pick up those in the water. The Lord had moved upon his heart, and thinking of his own wife and children back in Germany, he had gone back and forth picking up survivors, even at his own risk. The next day, the passengers were transferred to the Dresden, where they lived for a month as prisoners of war. For 33 days, they experienced many privations along with a flu epidemic, seasickness, and dysentery. But on May 19th, after a zigzagging course in their attempt to avert British vessels, the Dresden entered the territorial waters of Spain. The next day, the ship was run aground on the sandy beaches in German-occupied France. In time, the United States citizens, through the intervention of the American ambassador to Spain, were returned to New York. The Lord had graciously protected all aboard, and there were absolutely no casualties. 201 people that God said, I know how to watch out for them. And I will. Brethren, we serve the same God today. Let that be an encouragement to you. Give you a little bit of Baptist history. Many of you were praying for me on my prayer retreat Monday and into Tuesday. And I just want to share with you some things that God did in my heart. I can describe it this way. I can describe it as my spirit being refreshed and my strength being renewed and my love for Christ increasing for sure. I can describe it as fullness of joy from being in the presence of God. Really, really rich time. And I can describe it as a better understanding of how to pray for the flock, studying the prayers of Paul for the flock, all the epistles. I can describe it as convicting. I can describe it as soul-searching. I can describe it as not having a back end to have to worry about. And I hope to share with you sometime how God led me into this and how you too can have a prayer retreat. Very, very special. And I thank the Lord for a couple pastors that had written about it, that shared some things that helped me to think on it, take the time. One thing I know that pastors are supposed to do, we're supposed to give ourselves to prayer. That's one of my big, big, big things. God's teaching me about that. I thank the Lord for that. Tuesday morning, I spent an hour in our hymn book, and I just sang and thought through the words of every song that I sang about the work of Christ. And the Lord just blessed my soul. Very, very special. So thank you for your prayers on that. I wanted to give you an update. I want to give you a couple other updates, and I'll get into the message tonight. Newton Finley passed away yesterday. You probably heard about that at the beginning of the service. Newton, they were a blessing here, and we're probably having a funeral here next Monday or Tuesday. It's not finalized yet, but I don't know that Newton's family is all saved, and so we want to preach the gospel, the good news, their family. And Newton wants that. Newton talked to me all about his funeral. He said, Pastor, I want you to preach these songs. He wants the gospel and Christ exalted. Carol Shaw, you probably got an update on her. But the amputation, they want to amputate, big important meeting on Friday with the doctors as to wisdom moving forward. Larry Fainus has not been well on their trip. Both of his eardrums ruptured on the plane. He's very unsteady and has no hearing as of tonight. So please pray. They gave him some antibiotics, and Kathy's praying that they will begin to work in his system. She cannot leave him right now because of his unsteadiness. And then Jim Corbett, many of you know, had a stroke back in October. He just had a seizure this month. He called me Tuesday night to update me. He's in a therapy place, but they're not giving him any therapy. He'd like to return to his wife, who just had gallbladder surgery, but he's praying that he would get therapy. Pray for Jim and Joyce. They've been through a lot. And so I want to give you those updates. We are in the series on Baptist distinctives. How many of you have a handout or don't have a handout? Let's put it that way. Anybody not have a handout? Everybody's got a handout tonight. Okay, good. Most everybody's got a handout. It's amazing to me how many people I talk with that mention the church that they go to and what they like about their church. If I ask you personally tonight, why do you attend Mount Zion Baptist Church? I wonder what your answer would be. The reason you attend Mount Zion Baptist Church is probably the reason you would leave Mount Zion Baptist Church. That's the way a lot of people think. The reason I'm at a church, if that were to change, I would leave the church. And so I think that's a valid question to answer. Would it be that you really enjoy the music? Maybe you like the fact that the church has a choir or a place for your children. Maybe you like the facilities. Maybe you like the people. All these things are nice, but these are not the biblical reasons you join a church. We attend a church based on what it believes. As we begin this series on Baptist distinctives, I want you to know tonight, I am a Baptist by conviction. I am not a Baptist because it's the best of the denominations. I am a Baptist by conviction. If somebody called me and said, hey, Pastor Starr, we'd like you to interview for the community church here in the area that's non-denom, it would never cross my mind to entertain that thought. Because it's not Baptist. It's not independent Baptist. I'm not only Baptist, I'm independent Baptist by conviction. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not at Mount Zion Baptist Church because it's the only church I could find, or even that it's the best in the area. I'm not at Mount Zion Baptist Church because it has a youth program or it's had children's programs for my children. I'm not at Mount Zion Baptist Church because it's financially debt-free or that the facilities are kept in good shape. I appreciate all of these things. I'm thankful for all these things. But when it comes down to it, it's not why I'm here. Okay? I'm at Mount Zion Baptist Church because of the doctrine that it teaches and stands for, which is biblical doctrine. That's why I'm here. And by the way, that's why you ought to be here. People often choose a church based on the appearance of the building, the friendliness of the people, the programs that are offered. As important as these qualities are, other qualities surpass them all. You should choose a church that holds the fundamentals of the Christian faith and beyond that, all Bible teaching. Now let me give you a little history lesson on fundamentalism. Fundamentalism came in the 1930s. That term was used because there was liberalism and they were denying some of the cardinal doctrines of the faith, like the virgin birth of Christ, like the substitutionary atonement of Christ, like the literal bodily resurrection of Christ. And there was a group that rose up, and the Presbyterians and some Methodists and some Baptists, mixture of all those, and said, bless God, we're going to stand together on the fundamentals. And they separated from the liberals. And they did right by doing that. But in one sense, they hurt us. And they hurt us by this. They limited their agreement to five basic doctrines. Now, those five basic doctrines are cardinal doctrines and they're important, but may I say this? We're not limited in agreement to just five doctrines. We are interested in every Bible teaching. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we're interested in believing. Not just limited to the five fundamentals of the faith. And so the fundamentals did right, but then they said these are the essentials. And by saying these are the essentials, they said there's a bunch of other things the Bible teaches that are non-essentials. And may I say this tonight, there's nothing in the Bible that's non-essential. All of it's essential. And so, Bible teaching churches today, Bible believing churches, don't select and pick and choose teachings of the Bible. They're interested in all the teachings of the Bible. If the Bible says it, then we believe it and we live it. If the Bible says it. And so, doctrine reigns supreme in a Bible-believing church. Doctrine is important. In the beginning church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, at Pentecost, and they continue steadfastly. Here's the first description of the church with the Holy Spirit present in this world. And it says one of the first characteristics was they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the teaching. They continued in that. And so churches ought to continue in that today. It says in Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." May I say this? Doctrine is not something that is evolving. It's not something that's changing all the time. No. Because we have the Scriptures, because we have the apostles' doctrine, the body of truth spelled out in our New Testament, my friends, we have something that we can anchor to that's not changing. It is linear. It is stable. It is certain. It is rock solid. The doctrines of the Scripture. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, wherefore thou shalt attain." Is it good for pastors to speak on the Baptist distinctives? It absolutely is. You know what it's doing to me? It's nourishing me. The Scripture teaches us here. It's nourishing me in good doctrine when I impart good doctrine to others. And so, you have to understand that not all churches believe the same thing. The reason why there's Baptist and Pentecostal and Methodist and Lutheran and Presbyterian and Catholic and Episcopal and Unitarian Universalist, and we could go on, is because they all believe differently. Right? I don't have time to go through all the different beliefs, but I'm going to show you in this series the different Baptist distinctives, which, by the way, are biblical truths, and how they separate Baptists from other denominations. All right? We're going to show you that in this series. I think it's important that our children are learning Baptist distinctives, because there's a good chance someday they're going to choose a church. May not all live in Brogue. What kind of church are they going to choose? Well, if they know and they're Baptist by conviction and belief, you know what? They won't settle for anything else. By the way, they will probably, hopefully, they will choose where they're going to live by their church, because it will be important to them. And so, what we're dealing with here is important. The study of these distinctives is important. I first and foremost desire to be a biblicist. That'll be your desire. Your desire ought to be a biblicist. I want to show you the Baptist teachings in this series and doctrines that we adhere to, and I want to show you right from the pages of Scripture so that you're convinced of these truths. Now watch this. If you're convinced of truth, then you develop a conviction on truth. So, it is my goal in this series to reinforce probably what you've heard before in some other venue, maybe in services here. It's good to regroup and retrain and reemphasize. And maybe you haven't been taught. Maybe you're a Baptist, but you're a Baptist only because you are something else and you just like the Baptist better. You just like this church better than the other denomination you were in. Well, hopefully this series will cement your faith and biblical truths, that you will be convicted and have convictions that, you know what, I'm a Baptist because of the Baptist distinctives that are clearly biblical truth. There's always been a people that have held to the biblical beliefs of Scripture. Now, we are not Baptist successionists. When I say that, we do not believe that you have to trace your church back to another Baptist church that started you, to another Baptist church that started them, to another Baptist church, all the way to John the Baptist. Right? There are some people out there that believe those things, and they argue purely from a historical standpoint. For you to trace the last 18 centuries of Baptist churches to your church, good luck. All right? However, we do believe that the principles that we believe today, the truth that was once delivered unto the saints, that's Jude chapter 1. We do believe that God has preserved that truth in the Word of God, and that He's also preserved a people down through the ages that have held to and proclaimed and defended those truths. They haven't always been called Baptists, I'll have you know. But why would God preserve His Word of the truth that was once delivered to the saints, but not preserve a remnant and a people? No, He's preserved His Word, and He's preserved through all the ages people that look at His Word, understand the Word of God, believe it, are convinced of it, defend it, and live it out of conviction. That is what God has done. We can thank God for that. We can thank God for those that have gone before us. Some of them have fought on greater ground than we have. Some of them have lost their lives over water baptism by immersion, I'll have you know. They were burned at the stake. They were slaughtered. We don't deal with that today. But people that went before us did. You know what? They showed they believed it. If it cost them their lives, they believed it. And we have not had a lot of experience with that in our generation, in our country, so to speak. Not to say that it can't happen. And so, we hold to biblical teachings. What God has preserved in the local church is always pure doctrine. And may I say this, it is in no way connected to false Roman Catholicism. You need to understand something about Baptists. We are not Protestants. We did not come out of Roman Catholicism and change a few things. Baptists are not reformers. Baptists are biblicists. We weren't part of the reformers. We didn't come out and say, well, the Catholic Church teaches this, so we're going to change some things, but we're going to hold on to some things from the Catholic Church. Oh, no. Study your history. That's not Baptist. That's Protestantism, but that's not Baptist. Baptists have held to these truths even through that time. There were Baptists before there were reformers. And so it is helpful for us to understand that. Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, if you'll turn there. And we're just getting into this, and we'll work in the first distinctive more next week. I'm kind of introducing the subject. Probably the most distinctive feature of Baptist is water baptism, because the word Baptist means to immerse. And so some of the big fights that have taken place over this issue is over infant baptism and baptismal regeneration. What are those two, preacher? Many denominations believe in infant baptism. There's no scriptural support of that. And by the way, we don't give grace to babies by baptizing them. Nor do we enter them into the church covenant with their family by baptism. They obey God after salvation. That's when a person gets baptized. We don't believe in sprinkling. If a church opens their mind to sprinkling, they are off doctrinally. They are off biblically. The baptism of believers is always by immersion. The meaning of baptism is by immersion. It means to dip or to immerse. Brethren, these things aren't up for grabs, and they shouldn't be up for grabs in your life. They ought to be things that you can stand there, can stand there the rest of my life. And baptism is not a part of salvation. I don't need any baptism to be saved. Look at the thief on the cross, and there's lots of arguments there. And so baptism is a big part of our distinctive, but not the only one. Jude chapter 1, verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Now notice it didn't say contend for many faiths. It says the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. There's a couple things I learned from this verse as we close out tonight. Number one, the faith is always under attack. Where Paul wrote in first century. Now, first century, you got to understand, apostles are alive. you know, we're not too far removed from all these witnesses of the resurrection, eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And before we could finish the New Testament, before we could get to 100 A.D., Paul's already writing and saying, I need to urge you to earnestly wrestle, contend for the faith. There's already air in Galatia. There's already air seeping into Colossae, the church at Colossae. In Rome, there's problems with doctrines and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which they had learned. You have to understand tonight, when it comes to biblical teachings and doctrines and principles, they are always under attack. Therefore, all of us need to be deepened in what we believe so that we can wrestle and defend it. Defend it. Do you know one of my qualifications is I have to be able to defend it to the gainsayers. I have to be able to defend it to lost people. The faith. And you should be able to defend it. So in this series, we're going to go through the Baptist distinctives and help you and arm you to defend the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's not something that was progressively given. It didn't evolve in second century. They found something new. Wow. This wasn't in the Bible. We found it new. Nope. Everything we ought to believe is in the finished canon of Scripture. Right here. It's complete. And it's once delivered. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word. Lord, I pray that we will not be, Lord, weak in what we believe. I pray we'll be strong. I pray, Lord, that we would be people that earnestly contend for the faith. Lord, thank you for preserving your Word. So, Lord, we know what the faith is. And, Lord, thank you for preserving a remnant that has gone before us, that has passed it down to us in everyday living. Lord, thank you for those that have stood, those that have defended, and those that have proclaimed, and Lord, those that have died for, Lord, what we believe. Lord, I pray this series will deepen our appreciation for what we have in the Scriptures. And Lord, I pray that you'll work practical application in, Lord, this important study of Baptist distinctives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Don't forget about the canvassing on Saturday. I think Pastor Todd mentioned I'm on a very, very quick trip to Ohio Friday night. Actually leave early Friday morning, get there for a viewing, and I haven't seen that side of my family for 30 years, and so I'll be back Saturday. I'll be here Sunday. Please pray for our travels, all right? God bless you.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.